Join us as we open the Word of God to get more deeply grounded and learn about the abundant life available to all through our Savior, Jesus Christ.
All right. It's a good-looking group heading out. Thank you, Casey. All right. A young man was walking through a supermarket just picking up a few things. And an elderly lady kept following him and staring at him and made him a bit uncomfortable, but he just ignored her and continued on. Finally, when he got to the checkout line, that same lady jumped in front of him and said, I'm sorry if I've made you uncomfortable. It's just that you look exactly like my son and I haven't seen him in such a long time. And you know, you reminded me of him and I'm a little sad. And he responded, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. Is there something that I can do for you? And she said, yeah, there is. When I'm leaving, if you could just say, bye, Mom, love you, that would make my day. And he said, sure, I'll do that. So she heads out and he goes, bye, Mom, love you. And she blows him a kiss. Love you, son. And, you know, he was felt good about that until the checkout person goes, that's $147.50. And what? How can that be? I only bought these three things. Well, you know where this is going. Your mom said that you would pay for her stuff. So I know that none of the moms here would do that, right? None of you would do that. However, I'm certain that there are days, probably days that end in Y, when you are like, man, I could use something, right? Something to be filled, right? Buying my groceries would be nice, just anything. And so we recognize that that being a mom can be a struggle. And if anybody deserves a special day, right, it's moms. I learned this week at youth group. Did you know that in Nepal, they celebrate Mother's Day twice a year? Didn't know that. So you deserve even more than 2 days a year. But today we hope that you're blessed. Real mothers know that there are kitchen utensils. They're probably in the sandbox somewhere. They know that they have sticky floors, that they have filthy ovens, that they have messes everywhere. But it's okay. Hopefully you know that it's okay. Real mothers don't want to know what the vacuum cleaner just sucked up. It's better to not even know. Real mothers sometimes ask, why me? Why me? And that's okay too. And you get your answer when a little one says, because I love you, right? And it turns out that God says the same thing to us. I love you. In Romans 8, he reminds us that not death or life, not angels or demons, not rulers, present things, things to come, no powers, no height, no depth, none of those things can separate us from the love of God through Christ Jesus, right? So nothing can separate us from that love. And it's important to remember that. I know you know it, but sometimes in our soul we don't remember that. So while moms certainly deserve a special day, the truth is that all of us need to be filled. So while I hope that and pray that moms can be blessed and filled today, I think this message is important for all of us because all of us are depleted, right? All of us need to be filled. And it turns out that God wants that more than anything. So we're going to use as our main text a story about a mom in 2 Kings chapter 4. So we're going to read 1 through 7. This is our main text today. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves. Elisha replied to her, how can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Your servant has nothing there at all, she said, except a small jar of olive oil. Elisha said, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side. She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. But he replied, there is not a jar left. Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left. All right. The first takeaway, bring what you have. Bring what you have. It's verses 1 and 2. All right. So this wife was the widow of a prophet who had recently died. So she had reached the end of her rope. She had nothing left. She was so poor that her sons were about to be taken into slavery to pay the debt. In desperation, she cried out to a friend of her husband's, the prophet Elisha. I'm not sure what she expected. I'm not sure that she knew what she expected, right? In desperation, we sometimes desperately plead for things. So I'm not 100% sure that she even had an idea of what she was expecting, right? Maybe perhaps Elisha could talk to her creditors and come to some agreement. Maybe he could walk in with his staff and call down like fire and hail and brimstone. I don't know what she expected. But who wouldn't like that, by the way, right? Like sign up for your credit, like for that type of your creditors. But Elisha didn't get his checkbook. He didn't even go talk to anybody. He didn't call down fire. And I'm not sure if you noticed, but what he did do, seems a little bit odd to me. She cried out to Elisha, and his response was, "What do you have?" Right? So she's in desperate need of things, and instead of asking what she wanted, he said, "What do you have?" So I want you to think about when you're struggling or when you feel really empty, and imagine you are expecting a solution or for the problem to be solved, and instead the response you get is, "Well, what do you have?" And I can imagine I would think, "Well, my problem is that I told you I'm empty and I have nothing," and your response to me is, "Well, what do you have?" Doesn't seem like a very good response. But it's not really true, right? It is a good response because we do have something. This widow had something, and we too have something. So this widow had just a tiny bit of oil, right? So to her, it doesn't seem like she has much, but she does have something, a tiny bit of oil. And Elisha gave her some directions. She followed them. God took the tiny thing that she had, and he multiplied it. That's how God often works in our lives, right? He takes what is easy for us to overlook when we offer it to him with thanks. He uses that, he multiplies it, and right, he does things that we didn't expect. You might recall Jesus did this twice with a tiny bit of food. Not just once, but twice. He took what was available, both times a tiny amount, and he fed thousands of people with it. So in the middle of our struggles and our emptiness, here is our challenge. Identify what you have that God has already given you to work with. And I know that can be hard, right? Preaching to the choir here. It's easy to say we have nothing instead of identifying the thing that God has given us, no matter how tiny, inconsequential it might seem to us. Jesus once said something about a tiny seed, right? You might recall he said that faith like a grain of mustard seed, with a faith that size, tiny, nothing is impossible. So let's identify the thing that God has, right? The way he's already working, no matter how tiny it is. Let's start with that and offer that to him and see what he'll do with it. So another concept here. In this story, the focus is on how God uses that tiny bit of oil to bless the widow and her family. However, God's work is actually much bigger than that, right? So it's relatively easy in our struggles for us to focus on our struggle and us. But I want you to think here about what happened, right? We don't get a lot of detail here, but their family got the jar of oil, the empty jars for the oil from neighbors, right? Tiny places, people usually know what's going on, right? They would know that she's a widow, probably know of her struggles. So other people are seeing what's going on, right? This is true in our lives. In the midst of the good things and the struggles, the peaks and the valleys, other people see what is happening. God uses these things to further his kingdom. So while the point of the story here is is how he's blessing this family. Other people are seeing it, right? God uses all things to further his kingdom. 1 Corinthians 12 describes how the Holy Spirit brings spiritual gifts to us. But it points out that it's not for us. It's really for the saints, right? It's for the church. It's for the believers, right? These gifts that God gives us, they're not for us. They're for us to bless other people with. So it might seem obvious, but if we don't bring that to God for his use and his service, for him to multiply, then we can't use it for other people, right? We need to bring it to God to allow him to multiply it, to use it so that that gift can be used not for us. I mean, it will be used for us, but it'll be used to reach other people, to further his kingdom, to do things outside of us. Peter puts it this way in chapter 4, verse 10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. So as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So not just for you, but for you and others, bring what you have. No matter how tiny it seems to you, no matter how inconsequential, bring what you have. All right. Point number two, don't overlook what is available or possible. Right? So, again, it's easy to overlook these tiny things, but let's don't overlook them. So notice when Elisha asked her what she had, she didn't go straight to, I have a tiny bit of oil. I don't blame her. Who brags about like a tiny bit of oil, right? It would be like if I owed Sincere $1,000 and I was like, here, Sincere, here's a nickel, right? Why would I even bother? Like, you don't brag about a nickel when you owe $1,000. You don't brag about a bunch of nothing or a tiny bit of oil. But maybe we should. Maybe we should. And you know why? Because in God's kingdom, empty is okay. It's more than okay. Empty is actually good. And we'll get to this later, but empty means God can fill it the way it needs to be filled, right? Doesn't require me to fill it. God fills it. And when God fills it, it's filled with what we need, how much we need, when we need it. It's not filled with my thoughts, my stuff, my guess, which most of the time doesn't really work out, right? So it's filled the way it was meant to be filled. We are filled the way we're meant to be filled when we offer whatever we have to the Lord. If we make ourselves available, the Father not only wants to fill us, but fill us to overwhelming and overflowing. Do you notice, like, the jars, they just kept getting filled. So a brand new lawyer in a brand new office on his first day in practice was super psyched, a little bit nervous about his first day in practice. He notices a prospective client walks in the door. So he doesn't want to seem like a newbie, so he picks up the phone, has a pretend conversation. Hey, John, yeah, I'm calling you. I'm a little concerned about this new project. I think we should go down there ourselves and talk to them, right? The deal's in the balance. Maybe we should even call in Scott from Seattle and make sure that they know we're on this and have everything under control. Yeah, I'm not sure that $3 million is going to cut it. We need to talk about that. All right, I have to go. I'll talk to you later. Hangs up. Oh, hi. Can I help you? He says to the new client. No, you can't help me at all. I'm here to hook up your phone. So embarrassing, right? Yeah. easy to make fun of this guy, except we're not that much different, right? Pretending to be connected to the Lord, pretending to be doing something that we're not really doing. We have to legitimately make our lives available to the Lord, or else this idea of being filled doesn't really work. Right? This in this story, right, it's about him, not about the. And when we're pretending to be connected to the Lord, we're not really available, then it's more about us. But if we truly want to be filled, it has to be about the Lord. So the question is, like, are we really making ourselves available to him? Do we really think that all things are possible with God through Jesus? Or are we too busy trying everything else? Trying everything else first. Ephesians 4 describes this as being tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind. So, do we trust that when we offer it up to the Lord, He will fill it the way it needs to be filled, or we're trying all these other things described in Ephesians 4. Jeremiah 18, verses 5 and 6. This might be familiar. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, "Can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does, declares the Lord. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel." Just as the clay finds its highest purpose when it remains pliable in the hands of the potter, our lives find our highest purpose and ultimate fulfillment when we put our lives in the hands of the master potter, right? The master teacher. When we let him have his way with us. So for your Star Wars fans, this is the way. If you don't know what I'm talking about, this is how we get filled, right? This is the way. This is the only way, right? All the other things lead to disappointment. They're fake promises. They're false. The only way to be filled is to give what we have to the Lord and trust in Him to fill it the way it's meant to be filled. Make it available to Him. Give it to Him. All right. Number three. Bring what is empty. Bring what is empty. So, again, remember back to our story. Elisha asks them to get empty jars. And not just a few, he says, but get a lot. Because the Lord will fill to overflowing. So, it might seem obvious, but the jars have to be empty. Something that's full of something else would have been of little use. You cannot fill an already full thing. When Jesus gave his Sermon on the Mount, if you might remember, he started with, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." That's because emptiness is the starting place for God to fill us. Right? Again, so we talked about how being empty in God's kingdom isn't a bad place to be. He wants us to be filled, but first we have to be empty, because most likely we're full of things that we shouldn't be full of. So we get empty, God fills us with the right things, the things He wants us to be full with. I want to read from a couple of verses here from Ephesians 5, verses 17 and 18. "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." In the Greek, that verb "be filled" is interesting. We'll talk about that for a little bit. So first, it's an imperative. It's a command. This is a non-negotiable. This is the will of God for our lives, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's passive. It's not something that you do. It's something that God does. Right? And this can be tricky because, right, a lot of people think that one of the greatest verses in the Bible is how's it go? Pull yourselves up by the bootstraps, right? Those that work hard, or right, God works with those who work hard, or something like that. None of those things are in the Bible. Those are just made up. Right? This is passive. God fills you. You make yourself available, God fills you. You don't do it. It's not taking more from God, but allowing God to put more into you. All right, I'm going to say that again. It's not taking more from God. It's allowing God to fill you more. You receive the Holy Spirit, all of Him, like not just a piece, when you accepted Jesus Christ. So now you need to let that Holy Spirit reign in your life. That's how you're filled. Allowing God to do more, not you to do more. And then it's ongoing. It's not something that just happens once, but something that is continuous. It requires constant attention every day. We don't like this because we want to be done with it. But it's part of our relationship with the Lord. We're constantly making ourselves available to Him. We're allowing Him to rule our lives. It's an ongoing daily thing. Right, and it kind of makes sense. No matter how much gas you put in your car, if you're going to drive it, you have to put more gas. No matter how many times you eat, I eat all the time, six times a day. right? And I'm going to eat again and again and again, right? You get depleted and you have to eat again. You will be hungry again. We live in a dark world, and that world will deplete us. It's a world full of sin that separates us from our Creator. And in that separation, right, in our sin, we become separated. He wants us back with forgiveness. We come back to Him, but we get depleted, and we need to constantly get refilled. No matter how many times you get filled, you need it again. On your way to the parking lot today, you might need to get filled again. It happens. It's okay. The famous evangelist D.L. Moody, you might have heard of him, he was once asked, "Why do you preach constantly about being filled, right? Can I just get filled once?" His response, "Madam, I leak." That's a good response, right? I leak. You know, I don't expect that. Like, doesn't sound like something I would expect him to say. Like, I've read some of his things. He doesn't seem as in-depth as some of his other things he says, but it's a good synopsis, right? I leak. I know that some of you are fans of The Grinch, right? So we do like this movie series at Christmas time. So I love this part when the Grinch, his heart grows and he starts crying and he doesn't even know what it is. And he goes, "I'm leaking," right? Right. We leak. We have to realize that, be okay with it. We leak. It just means we need to be filled again. And instead of that being a struggle, I pray that we can see it as an opportunity to let God do in us what He wants to do, right? If we fill ourselves, then God doesn't do the thing He wants to do in our lives. But if we recognize that we leak, right, we need to be filled. And that's an opportunity for God to do His work, to fill us the way He intends us to be filled. I want to finish with these verses from Ephesians 3. And let's do this. If you close your eyes, I'm going to read these verses and just let these truths wash over you. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, rooted and established, right? This is taking root, established. This is God establishing something in us. May we have power, right? This is God's power. Together with all the Lord's holy people, right? We're not in this alone. To grasp how wide and how long and how high and deep is the love of Christ. This is the love of the King of Kings, the Savior of the world, that it's hard for us to even fathom. But how wide and how long and how high and how deep is that love? And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, and this is the best part, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So if you could picture, like the empty tank and you need to be filled, God wants to fill you to all the fullness of the measure of God, right? I don't even know what that is, but I know it's a big and it's powerful and it's mighty and it's awesome. Let's pray. Lord God, may this be so. May we remember that we have power because we are rooted and established by You, the King of Kings. May we be reminded that You love us more than we can comprehend. Right? The love that we have for people is nothing compared to the love that You have for us. And Lord, may we allow You access to our lives so that we can be filled to the measure of the fullness of God, overflowing with all of the good things from You. Lord, may it be so. We love You and praise You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening today. I hope this helped you experience Jesus more deeply.